This is in the news for January 10th, 2006. I'm Scott Perguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Interpress Service News Agency at ipsnews.net. It's written by Marwan Markan Markar. Thai farmers fear so-called free trade deal with U.S. This is out of Bangkok, dated January 6. When United States negotiators fly into Thailand to thrash out a bilateral so-called free trade deal next week, they will be greeted with jeers rather than this country's famed smile of welcome. Activists opposed to the Free Trade Agreement, or FTA, view the sixth round of talks in the northern city of Chiang Mai from January 9 through 13 as a defining moment, and in a bid to raise the ante will bring 10,000 people onto the streets to protest against the talks. Sari Aung San Wong, General Secretary of the Foundation for Consumers, a non-governmental organization, said in an interview, quote, "Thailand stands to lose much if the FTA with the U.S. is signed. It will increase poverty among the small farmers in the provinces. Street protests are the only avenue open for opponents of the FTA since the Thai government has shrouded its policies in secrecy," adds Sari, whose group belongs to a nationwide coalition of anti-FTA NGOs called FTW Watch. Sari also said, quote, "There has been no public debate, and the government has refused to listen to our concerns," end quote. Some of these worries are with reason, given that Thai farmers took a beating following similar bilateral trade deals that the government of Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra signed with China, Australia, and New Zealand. Cheaper imports of garlic and onions from China have put 40% of Thai farmers out of business. Witun Lan Chumrun, coordinator of FTA Watch, told reporters on Thursday, quote, "About 50,000 farming households have been affected," end quote. Proposed changes would not only mean a possible loss in income for Thai farmers, but also possible loss of lives among Thais living with HIV/AIDS who depend on cheap, locally produced generic anti-AIDS drugs. Again, that's from Interpress Service News Agency. There's more on this story at ipsnews.net. Next story concerns the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. IRS is being sued on failure to release tax data. This is by David K. Johnston of the New York Times, dated today, January 10th, and taken from truthout.org. Records showing how thoroughly the Internal Revenue Service audits big corporations and the rich, and how much it discounts the additional taxes assessed after audits, are being withheld from the public despite a 1976 court order requiring their disclosure, according to a legal motion filed last week in federal court in Seattle. For decades, the information was given at no charge to a professor at Syracuse University, Susan B. Long, who made it available on the internet at trac.syr.edu, with tools for people to conduct their own analysis. Much of what the public knows about the efficiency, effectiveness, and even-handedness of the Revenue Service and other big federal agencies is based on the figures that Professor Long collects and posts. In May 2004, the service told her that it would not provide the information and ordered its statisticians to stop answering her questions. It also advised her that if it ever did make the data public again, the information would cost $12,000 a month to receive electronic copies. Professor Long, whose suit resulted in the court order in 1976 when she lived in Seattle, asked the federal court there to enforce that order, which instructed that the data be turned over without charge. Eric M. Stahl of Davis Wright Tremaine in Seattle, who is handling the case without charge, said the earliest hearing date would be January 27th. The senior national spokesman for the tax agency, Frank Keith, wrote to Professor Long in June 2004 that he had lawyers examine her assertion that the agency was required to provide the data. After extensive research, Mr. Keith wrote, the lawyers concluded that no court order existed and that, quote, accordingly, the IRS is not in violation of any standing injunctions, end quote. Professor Long responded by sending Mr. Keith a copy of the order. Mr. Keith said no one now at the agency was aware of it. He said, quote, we thought we were providing this information voluntarily, end quote. The agency has no plans to release the information, Mr. Keith said Friday. He argued that Professor Long's latest request went far beyond the order, covering costly detailed information that could inadvertently allow the identification of specific taxpayers. Professor Long said that was false. She said, quote, there is no change in what we have asked for, and they know it, end quote. She continued, the IRS simply has no regard for court orders. Professor Long said that and added that other federal agencies whose information she collects are also obstructing her. There's more on this at truthout.org. And finally, also from Interpress Service News Agency, as was our first story today, The Biggest Company You Never Heard Of. This is written by Bill Berkowitz and comes out of Oakland, California, dated January 4th. Georgia Pacific, one of the world's leading manufacturers and marketers of tissue, packaging, paper, building products, and related chemicals, will keep its name and continue to operate from its Atlanta headquarters as a privately held, indirect, wholly owned subsidiary of Koch Industries. That's Koch, K-O-C-H. Koch Industries is controlled by the Koch boys of Kansas. They are smart, incredibly wealthy, and politically savvy and well-connected, having spent years funding their libertarian and free market agenda through millions of dollars in contributions to far-right causes, candidates, and organizations in the U.S. One of the most remarkable aspects of the Koch story is how little the general public knows about either of the brothers or the company itself. Bob Williams, a project manager at Center for Public Integrity, or CPI, and the co-author of a report entitled Koch's Low Profile Belies Political Power, Private Oil Company Does Both Business and Politics with the Shades Drawn, pointed out shortly after the Georgia-Pacific deal, quote, Koch is a huge company, bigger than Microsoft, but few people have heard of it. Despite its size and political largesse, Koch is able to dodge the limelight because it is privately held, meaning that nearly all of its business dealings are known primarily only by the company and the Internal Revenue Service. This, again, according to Bob Williams, project manager at Center for Public Integrity. Koch Industries, Inc. owns a diverse group of companies that are engaged in trading, operations, and investments worldwide. It has a presence in 50 countries in such industries as petroleum, chemicals, energy, fibers, resins, fertilizers, pulp and paper, ranching, securities, and finance. The Koch brothers are, quote, ideologues who are now in a position to permit Georgia-Pacific to further rape and pillage the public's lands, unquote. This is according to Scott Silver, the executive director of Wild Wilderness, an Oregon-based environmental group. Silver continued, quote, the think tanks they support promote the free market ideal when it serves their interest to do so, but in reality, they are firmly committed to enriching private interests at an enormous direct cost to the American taxpayer, end quote. According to Axis of Ideology, a 2004 report by the National Committee on Responsive Philanthropy, Charles and David Koch have, quote, a combined net worth of approximately $4 billion, placing them among the top 50 wealthiest individuals in the country and among the top 100 wealthiest individuals in the world in 2003, according to Forbes, end quote. The Koch brothers, Charles, David, William, and Frederick, are sons of Kansas. 38 years ago, Charles took over the company from his father, founder Fred Koch. According to a recent piece in Business Week, Charles, 70, and David, 65, now, quote, own the bulk of the company after elbowing out their other brothers in 1983, end quote, buying out William and Frederick for $470 million and $320 million, respectively. In 1940, Fred Koch founded the company as an oil refiner. A graduate of MIT, he was an original member of the anti-communist, ultra-conservative John Birch Society, founded in 1958. The sons did not fall far from the tree. Both Charles and David graduated from MIT and have been deeply involved in right-wing politics. There's more on this story at Interpress Service News Agency, psnews.net. This has been In the News for January 10th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'll talk to you next time.